Mike O'Hara heads up the Huge Show fan club on the east side of the state, Dearborn area, Allen Park.
I'm in Detroit now.
DetroitLions.com, senior NFL Lions insider. Hey, well, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Pro Football Focus said Lions have the best chance to go from worst to first and be like the Niners in the NFL. And we kind of got to this conversation where we were talking about Snacks being released, which the guy looked like he was done last year. But then we've talked about the possibility of Slay being traded, Stafford not being traded. And I'm looking at a roster that's still in disarray, and I don't know how anybody can project that this team is going to go worst to first right now. You haven't seen any results of combine, draft, free agency, right? None of it, pickups, nothing.
No, I would agree with that, but you also see that they have assets, and one of them is that their quarterback is coming back. So add, four wins to what they had last year, make them 7-8-1 or whatever, four or five wins. They've got a high draft pick, third pick overall. They're going to get an impact player no matter what happens. Unless the kid gets hurt, and you can't factor that in. So that's another, that's a player who's going to give you impact where you need it, by the way. And there are so many options here that they're going to get better with that pick and maybe a couple of others. And then just look at they've got cap space and they're willing to spend it. So they're not in great shape like a lot of people think, but they're in pretty good shape. Not great shape. And enough to add something that's going to help the roster for this year and in a couple years to come. So, but does that get you to 10 wins to win the division? I don't know, but I think they're in better shape in that regard than they are the other last place teams like Cincinnati. No, not a chance.
The Snacks release. I don't look at that as a big shock. How do you see it from Allen Park?
Well, I don't think it's official yet. I just left there 2 hours ago, and it wasn't official then. But I think it's going to be. I'm not surprised. I mean, he played terrible last year for whatever reason. He was just a no-impact player after being so good for, I think it was 9 games he played here in Detroit. Got his contract extended. Was never really in shape. He had knee injury, I think, an ankle or groin, or whatever it was. But whatever the reason was, he wasn't the same guy. And even after the last game, he was in tears and, I'm going to retire. I'm embarrassed the way I played. I don't want to play that way. And, now the word is he doesn't want to retire, but the other side of it is the Lions apparently don't want him back either. So when I say don't want him, I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that, just based on performance.
How much roster turnover are you going to see? And again, the roster could be different based on if the new collective bargaining agreement is ratified by the players. It was approved by the owners. We'll get into that at the end of our conversation. But percentage, which is normal roster flip in the NFL in your time around the Lions, and what you see in a meaningful games in December year for Patricia and Quinn, how much flip on this roster?
Well, huge. There's sort of a rule of thumb in the National Football League that in free agency alone, one-third of the year every team, this is over time, it's not the same every year, but you'll re-sign one-third of your own free agents, one-third will sign with another team, and then one-third will never play football again. Those are guys, older guys on the last year of their contract, maybe guys who made it as an undrafted free agent and don't hook on with anybody. And then, so whatever that is, I think, maybe 17, 18 players, something like that. And some of that's guys who are up and down on the practice squad and starters, maybe 3 or 4. I mean, look at the change that was made last year that we didn't expect. The first workout that the media attended during the offseason workout program, Frank Ragnow, who had a nice year as a rookie at left guard, is at center and never left. Stayed at center the whole time. It's sort of an experiment. No, it was not an experiment. So things happen, in the off season when you recalibrate and reevaluate your roster. And they were right. Frank Ragnow is a Pro Bowl, All Pro caliber center, and he's going to be one for a long time. He's got the whole thing. So those are sort of the things that you don't really get a handle on until you really see the guys out there. But, to me, I just say, 16, 18, new players, something like that.
Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, Senior Lions, NFL Insider, joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. Let's talk about this collective bargaining agreement. The owners seem to move pretty quick on ratifying what would be an expanded playoff format. Seven teams NFC, seven teams AFC, and also the 17th game wouldn't be implemented until 2021, maybe possibly 2022. But the new playoff format, if this CBA is approved by the NFL Players Association, will go into effect at the end of the upcoming season.
Yeah, it'd be the 2020 season playoffs. And, you know, starting with the 17th game, I mean, that's going to happen. It's going to come. There's going to be a lot of money for the players, and you know, they'll figure it out. We're talking about expanded rosters, too. Right now it's 53 players. They're talking about going to 45. And instead of 46 active on Sunday, 48 active. So it kind of spreads the load out, you know, a little bit. I don't know how much, but, I mean, you always have starters who play a lot and backups who don't play as much. But it is, you know, it is something. I've got mixed emotions about expanding the roster. I'm okay with seven, but I just don't like the idea that the next step is eight. And then you're just like hockey and basketball, where both of them, you know, have more than half their teams make the playoffs. You know, I liked it at six. It's okay at seven, but I don't want to go to eight where half the teams make the playoffs. I really don't.
The 17th game, and the deal would be they'd kill one of the preseason games, which sure is no big loss. By killing that, if they include an extra bye week, I don't see why. I think why it's a big issue with some players is that they're saying, okay, if I got an existing deal, you're going to add another game on, but I'm not getting an extra game check. You know what I mean? It's going to be split over the year, correct?
I've heard that, but I'm not sure. That's something I think that has to be worked out.
Right.
And I think it will be. And the percentages from 48 to 48.5 and all that doesn't seem like a lot of money, but when you're talking about the billions, it really overall it is a lot of money. Look, even talking about, you know, raising the ante on the practice squad, it's you know, it's up to $8,000 minimum right now, and some players make more. You know, you can pay it more if you want. Now up to $10,500 for, which I think would be 18 weeks in a seven. Well, for now it would be 17 the way it is. So a kid's on the roster, you know, in the practice squad, he's going to make, you know, $170,000. You know, that's not bad. It's not, you know, that's for one first year out of college, pretty good.
Michael Hare made $70,000 as a freshman in high school. He was known as Mike the Mover and Shaker. O'Hara, DetroitLions.com columnist.
Join us. I was a heck of a pool player.
Yeah, you were. You were the hustler. You were long before Redford and Newman. You were the hustler. Do you think the NFLPA is going to approve the expanded playoff and extra game, bumping it to 17?
Well, I think they will eventually, yeah. I really do. When I say eventually, I don't mean 5 years from now. I think there'll be some wrangling there. And you know, look, the owners want it. The players have the hammer because the owners want it. So if you want it, I would say, then, you know, make them pay for it. Then that's the only really leverage you have, is to say no. And you keep saying no until they give you something to say yes. And that's just the nature of negotiations. And, you know, look, you see it in every industry, newspaper business, autos, whatever it is. Keep saying no until finally you get something that says, okay, we'll say yes, even if you don't like it. Sometimes some things are just inevitable, and you go ahead and do it. It's a tough sport, you know, and I don't, certainly the 17th game or the extra game doesn't make it any easier, but it's a tough game to begin with.
Yeah, inevitable, and you look at everything right now in the NFL and all the talk with the Lions at that third pick that people – I even saw somebody say that Joe Burrow, if he could drop to number three, I think it was Sports Illustrated at a mock draft, and I'm like, you know, you have Stafford, but there's that argument out there, Mel Kiper said it with Tua, that, you know, you don't get these opportunities, you know, it's usually a cycle when you'll get a draft that's loaded with possible franchise QBs, and you're the Lions, and I know you have, you know, Okuda, or you have, you know, defensive line needs or speed rusher needs or a wide receiver. But, man, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime QB that could be sitting there at number three. You're the Lions. Quinn and Patricia don't know if they're going to be there for the rest of 2020. I mean, I don't see any chance of a quarterback being selected by the Lions. I just don't.
I mean, I can see, look, because there's so much talk about it, and I get the logic in it and all of that, but it's not what I would do. If I was, and it would have nothing to do with my job, it would have something to do with my football team. I don't think the Detroit Lions are like most teams in the National Football League. You get tired of waiting. I think the Bengals aren't tired of waiting. And there was a team that was in the playoffs for five straight years, never won a game. You think they're not tired of waiting? Of course they are. The Cleveland Browns, yeah, tired of waiting. And you got to start making, to me, look, we'll take care of tomorrow. Now, you always have to have an eye on that as a general manager in Bob Quinn's case and as a head coach in Matt Patricia's. But boy, you have a fan base that's been waiting. You have players that have been waiting. Coaches have been waiting. Employees have been waiting. To me, I get the logic of getting to it, but I also get, to me, the logic of, look, let's go out. Let's win this year. We'll take care of tomorrow.
You know, if they would have blown out Patricia and Quinn and they were starting over, I might have seen the logic and taken a Tua if he was sitting there.
Yeah, look, I don't think it'd be like the worst thing in the world if they did it. It's just right now at this time and place, it's not what I would do. It really isn't.
I agree.
And I wouldn't. It's not what I would do. And look, because there are some good players right there where would help the Lions if they play to their draft position, draft potential, that would help the Lions on opening day. And Tua, they've already got a quarterback who's good enough to win with.
He just needs to stay healthy. You know, he really does. I mean, Stafford just...
Of course.
Well, what's and they don't say anything, so I guess with the broken bones in the back, I assume you're moving towards, you know, full good health for Stafford, right, eventually before we get to training camp?
Well, he said when we talked, the last time we talked to him on getaway day after the season, he said he'd be fine for the start of the off-season workouts. I think he was okay then. I just think it was a case of just testing out, you know, and exams and all that other stuff. Certainly, he wanted to play. I know that, but that was not in the cards. So I think he'll be fine. And then you know what? In practice, training camp, preseason, and the regular season, he's like every other quarterback and every other player. He's one hit away. They all are. That's the way it is. That's the nature of the game. I go back to what to 2008, first quarter of the first game. The Patriots are coming off a 16-0 regular season, losing the Super Bowl, and in the first quarter, Tom Brady goes out for the season. Who saw that coming? You never know. The way it is. That's the game.
You never know. It's a story of Mike O'Hara, the autobiography you can get at local bookstores. You never know. DetroitLions.com, senior columnist, insider. Mike, always good to talk. NFL, combine, free agency, and the draft will all be here before you know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'll be heading down to Indianapolis on Monday with Tim Twentyman. He always drives. Nobody lets me near the wheel. So not in the same car with me. And so, yeah, we'll be there through Friday and send back a lot of good stuff for DetroitLions.com, complete with our videos with Tori Petrie and our video crew, which is one of the best in the world.
Yeah, actually, you guys get on a plane, you land in Fort Wayne, then you get on a train, and you get off on the train just outside of Indy, you get a rental car, and it's kind of like candy in Steve Martin, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, isn't it?
Well, but your one thing, if we did that, we wouldn't be able to stop at the casino in Toledo.
So is that a pillow? Is that a pillow?
No, we stop there in the car. We leave on a Greyhound.
That's awesome. I love you, Mike, man. Have fun at the Combine, and maybe we'll catch up when you're down there, buddy, okay?
All right, sounds good. Look forward to talking to you again, Hugh.
All right, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, senior columnist, insider, good man.